Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. Let's stand together and start our worship time together.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took to the offer of grace He did proffer, oh, save me, oh, praise His dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cost the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal, from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see all these people here today. First off, third and sixth grade, they'll be meeting today out here in your class you're supposed to go to, as Oshery told me. Also, after the service today, we will be having the fifth Sunday dinner. We'd love it if everybody wanted to join us for that. Tonight, we'll be keep going on our Revelation study during our evening service. February 9th. Is a teenagers event at Woodland Heights Baptist starting at 11 a.m. February 9th is the deacons meeting at 7 p.m. And then February 12th will be another business meeting during the evening service. Okay. That's it. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you so much for all you've given us, Lord. I pray for what we're about to hear, God, I pray you just let us have the ears to hear and the hearts to feel. Lord, I pray for everything going on. I pray for this world. God, I pray you just keep leading us and make it better, God. God, show us a way and what we need to do. God, I pray you watch and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I should have announced it. I'll be gone next week, but the week after that is the first week the choir is going to meet, and so I won't be able to announce it any more than any time past today to give you a heads up. if you've been thinking about joining the choir, now would be an excellent time because I'm going to challenge them and do things that we've actually never done before as a choir. We're going to be learning about harmony. We're going to be learning about worship and just having a real good time of fellowship together as we prepare for Easter. We're not going to be learning that many new songs. They're going to be songs that we've already sung in the past before, because I just want to develop a rapport and a fellowship and a relationship all over again with the new choir that we've got now. So if that's something that you think might interest you, 2 weeks from today at 5 o'clock, we'll be meeting to sing together. Thank you. Stand with me. Great are you, Lord, mighty and strength. You are faithful and you will ever be. We will praise you all of our days. It's for your glory we offer everything. Raise your hands, all ye nations, shout to God. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise you together for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. The Lord Most High. Where you send us, God, we will go. You are the answer we want the world to know. We will trust you when you call our name. Where you lead us, we'll follow all the way. Raise your hands, all ye nations, shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise you together for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. The Lord Most High. Sing hallelujah. 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 How awesome is the Lord Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Raise your hands, all ye nations. Shout to God, all creation, how awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise you together for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Raise your hands. Raise your hands, all ye nations. Shout to God, all creation, how awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise you together for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. The Lord Most High.
Praise the Lord. His mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam. Our Father, so tender, is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more.
Amen. Amen. On the hill of Calvary, the light of all the world, with the world on His shoulders, the weight of all our shame on Him who knew no sin. A holy surrender, the sky went dark. The angels wept, the Father looked away.
the final breath, he bowed his head. The Lamb of God was slain, and by his wounds I am set free. By his blood I've been redeemed. The great divide he crossed for me. Oh, praise the God of Calvary. On the hill of Calvary, into the Father's hands, a holy surrender, a borrowed tomb. His mother wept, and there his body lay. But the stone was moved, he conquered death and rose up from the grave, and by his wounds I am set free. By his blood I've been redeemed. The great divide he crossed for me. Oh, if I never, never lose sight of this place, I will never, never lose sight of your grace. The cross is all I need to see. Oh, praise the God of Calvary. And if I by your blood I've been redeemed. The great divide you crossed for me. Oh, praise the God of Calvary. Your cross is all I need to see. Oh, praise the God of
often been frustrated by my relationship with the Lord and questioned him on a number of occasions about if a relationship with him is even possible. I mean, a give and take, a back and forth, a dialogue, a fellowship, that I can sense what he's saying and I know he hears what I'm saying. It's been a long journey with me, and in response to that, the Lord has said to me, I'm positive, that Calvary is the biggest expression that he wants a relationship with us. Just the cross, his tearing the veil from top to bottom. There's no more middlemen. He wants a direct relationship, a personal one with everybody that's going to be a little bit different because it's personal, you know. But another thing that he showed me was the names in Scripture for him. I mean, have you ever let that fall on you, how many different names there are for God? I looked in the back of the Experiencing God study before I came here this morning, and he has a list of some of the names, and I stopped counting at over 300. I don't know if you realize there were that many different names for God, you know. Rock of our salvation, Jehovah Jireh, bread of life. I mean, you can just, our Father, I think he's exhausted the English language and gone and told us that the English language cannot contain just how much I want a relationship with you, because each one of those names represents a personal encounter with somebody to where they gave him that name, right? It was a real deal. And so this is a new song. Forgive me for teaching you a new song on a Sunday morning, but it has to do with that real blessing of knowing that he wants a relationship with us. You are the medicine, the only cure for everything I feel within, redeeming what was lost and all that could have been. Oh, this is a healing kind of love. You are the truest friend, staying through the night when I was at my end, comforting my heart till I was light again. Oh, this is a faithful kind of love. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, you're here with me. Wonderful Counselor, the government is resting on your shoulders. You are the final word. You alone decide when every page will turn. So I will trust your timing, I will rest secure. Oh, this is a steady kind of love. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, you're here with me. Wonderful Counselor, the government is resting on your shoulders. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, you're here with me. Wonderful Counselor, the government is resting on your shoulders. Your name says Father, Prince of Peace.
Emmanuel, God with us, you're here with me. Wonderful Counselor, the government is resting on your shoulders. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, you're here with me. Wonderful Counselor, the government is resting on your shoulders, on your shoulders.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Matt, for that. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here today and being a part of this worship time with us. If you've not been here before, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. We'd like for you to fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, that we might have a record of your visit. I don't see any visitors. I think everybody's been here before. See Jackson back there. He hadn't been here in a little while. Was you here? You was here Wednesday night, weren't you? No? You would be here this coming Wednesday night. Yeah. It's good to have each one of you. Thank you for being a part of this service. Our man will come to receive the morning offering. And one of our men will come to lead us in prayer.
Pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that we receive on a daily basis. We thank you for your Son and our salvation. We ask that you would bless this offering, bless the people giving it. Thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
part of the children's church that you take charge of your group now, and the fifth and sixth graders, or fourth and fifth graders, third grade, third through sixth. Quit that giggling. Let me get down amongst you. There was something I was going to say last Sunday, and I failed to around out of time or something. Y'all remember what I said last Sunday? You want me to start all over? but anyway, what I wanted to say last Sunday that I didn't was our Gwen and my appreciation for the church. And everything that we've been involved in the last 30 years, you've been involved in also. And one of those has been the foster care program. And we never could have done that without the church. We just couldn't have done it without your support. And many of you came to our house and babysitted and brought food and bought clothes for the kids and shoes and loved on them when they were here. It just always amazed me when we would bring kids here how much the church would love on them, take them in. But I want to tell you how much we couldn't have done it. And if you're thinking about foster care, you need the church. You need the church to be behind you. And we will be. We'll be behind you. We'll help in any way that we possibly can. If you're thinking about that, we'll support you in that. That was one thing that I wanted to say. I've got a couple more things, and then I'm going to preach, okay? We're going to eat together, so still on the warmer and everything. You young people, and I count that about anybody younger than me is young, but you young people, you need to be in church. You need to grab hold here. I want you to feel ownership of this church. Matter of fact, you've got to. You've got to in order for the church to keep going. Some of you were on the pulpit committee 31 years ago that called me, and I was pastoring First Baptist Church, Tuckerman. And you came to that church to hear me preach. I went to a visitation last week with my daughter and visited with one of the members, and it absolutely broke my heart. And she said, "You know how many we had in Sunday school last Sunday?" I said, "How many?" She said, "10. We had 10 in Sunday school last Sunday at First Baptist Church." And that just tore me. That just broke my heart. And what has happened is that all the old people died. They all died. And they didn't bring in young people. But some way, their program did not was not such that they kept that going and did camp and Sunday school and vacation Bible school, and they some way they lost their vision, and they did not keep their young people's program going, and they're down to 10 people in Sunday school, 30 in the worship service. Broke my heart. They're at a stalemate. They're in over their head in debt. They had a bad pastor, ruined the church. And the leadership got so old and died out till they didn't control things. But I want to urge you young people to don't sit idly by. Grab hold here and take hold, because some of these old codgers are going to die. You are. And if Jesus doesn't come back quickly, we'll lose our church unless the young people grab hold. You young couples, grab hold. Get hold of things and start leading. Be in a leadership position. Be here. Come to the business meeting. Voice your concerns. Bring your kids. Bring your grandkids. Get them involved in what's going on at church. And it would be detrimental to our church for us not to continue to be focused on our young people. It'd be detrimental to us not to focus on the children and the youth. I tell you, old folks, it's not about us. It's about the future of this church. And I mean for us to minister to every age. But if we lose our vision for the young people, we'll lose our church. But it's up to us. It's up to us to grab hold and to get after it as far as our young people's program is going. And we're not losing ground. Or, as a matter of fact, we're gaining. We're doing good as far as young people. I'm not saying that because there's some kind of problem. I'm giving a forewarning that we can't allow anything else to happen. Now, one other thing I was going to talk to you about. And this, Mick mentioned this the other night, and I've been thinking about it, Mick, so I'm going to instigate it today. And also during our evangelism conference, I kept seeing this emphasized over and over and over, the altar call, giving the altar call for folks to make decisions for Christ, for those that need to recommit their life to the Lord, for those that need to be saved. Maybe something that they need to pray over, something that's so heavy on their heart and they need to commit it to the Lord. And one thing that Mick mentioned the other night when we went to this deacon training deal was that perhaps what we could do during the altar call is to have a couple of couples come. And I'd have Roger and Tim to come and stand up here and receive folks. But instead of that, having a couple of couples, the man and his wife, be here. And people perhaps would feel more free to come to them and share a prayer request, or to come to them and say, I want to be saved. And those folks would be able to lead them to the Lord, and then come to me and say they've accepted Christ as their Savior. Now they want to join the church, or they want to join the church, and it would be people that we. If you would like to be one of those couples, then you need to tell me. And if you need some training in that area, I'd just be glad we'd just sit down and we'd talk about how to lead someone to the Lord. And but the two couples that have volunteered this morning to be a part of that already know how to lead somebody to the Lord, and they know what to say if someone comes to join the church. And that's Roger and Holly and Kim and Greg. Y'all volunteered, didn't you? Yeah, I thought you did. They really didn't. But they're going to do it today. They're going to do it today. And then one of those men are going to go to the microphone after the invitation and dismiss us with a word of prayer. Let's get after it, okay? Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke. the 18th chapter. And this is going to be a long reading, so get ready. It goes from Luke 18:35 to Luke 19:10. So let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word, Luke 18:35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, so thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, Jesus asked him, what wilt thou that I do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. You'd think that would just be a given. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You may be seated. So we have two men from the same town in Jericho. Different, but the same. So who is Bartimaeus? Verse 35 says that he's blind, and also that he's a beggar. When we get on down the road farther, Jesus meets another man up a tree named Zacchaeus. Now, it's two or three things that I want us to make sure that we get from this passage of Scripture. And one for sure is that when Jesus got to the sycamore tree, he looked up and he said, what is your name? Right? No. He called him by name. He called Zacchaeus by name. Now, I think that should be evident to every one of us that he knows us by name. He knows all there is to know about us. He knows every thought that we ever have. Good or bad or indifferent, he knows everything that there is to know about us. And he loves us beyond anything that we can imagine. And he has an appointment with us for us to be saved, for us to follow him as Savior. And so, in one sense, all of us are like Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. Because, and we're in one group in that crowd. Do you remember what was it among that crowd that gathered around that sycamore tree? I've got a sermon I'll preach on that. I just love to preach it, but I'm not going to preach it today. But three things, three different groups of people that was in that crowd. One group is the accusers. Is there any accusers here today? You remember what the accuser said? He's gone to be guest at a sinner's house. He's not doing evangelism the way he should be doing it. A woman came up to Billy Sunday one day and she said, "I don't like the way you do evangelism." He said, "How do you do it?" She said, "I don't do it." He said, "Well, I like the way I do it better than the way you do it." So there's the accusers. He's going to be guest with a sinner. There's the losers. Do you know who the losers are in that story of Zacchaeus? And in that story of blind Bartimaeus? Do you know who those losers are? Well, I can tell you who they are. There's two groups of them. One of them is the accusers. The accusers are always losers. I'm telling you, if there is something going on in the church that you are in disagreement with, grab a root and growl. Let's talk about it. If there is something that's keeping you of giving your all, let's find out what that is and let's get it out of the way. Accusers are losers. They just never spend all of their time accusing people, spend all of their time finding fault with something that is going on rather than trying to solve the problem. Have you ever noticed that if you ever come to me with a suggestion that you might get to do it yourself, I've noticed folks avoid me sometimes over that deal. What's that word that we use that I'm so good at? I've lost it right now. Yeah, there you go. I'm a good delegator. My wife's a pretty good delegator, I'll tell you, at the house. What's that third group? They're accusers. There's losers. What do you think? Choosers. That's right. Choosers. Well, I tell you, I want to be one of the choosers, don't you? The chooser is Zacchaeus himself. That he chose Jesus. Just like that, he chose Jesus. I mean, he didn't go through some kind of evangelism class. He didn't have to go through some kind of preparations, and someone didn't have to prepare him. He chose right then. He chose Jesus. You could choose Jesus today. The chooser is the group that I want to be a part of. I'll tell you, what about blind Bartimaeus? He's a chooser, wasn't he? Can you imagine that blind Bartimaeus, he wasn't going to let anything keep him from getting to Jesus. We're so easily intimidated, aren't we? We let little old stuff intimidate us that don't amount to a hill of beans, keep us from worshiping the Lord in the way that we know we would like to. We would like to get to that point. where we could really give ourselves to really worshiping Him, putting Him first in our life. This song's been on my mind, Matt, all week. These are some great lines. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Isn't that a great line? Grace. Any of you who feel like me and you feel guilty over the things you've done in the past? Over your sin? Over your past mistakes? Here he says it's grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Now listen to this line. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Wow, what a line. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see His face. Will you this moment His grace receive? Bartimaeus was blind, verse 35. He was a beggar. He's an example of all the lost. And he's an example of us before we met Jesus. Well, you might say, I'm not blind and I'm not a beggar. But 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those that don't accept Christ. In Ephesians 2, and I'd like for you to turn to that passage. Galatians, Ephesians. Look at verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. Can I get a witness? Come on. That at that time you were without Christ. Do you remember when you were without Christ? When you had not accepted Him? When there had not come that glorious time in your life that the Holy Spirit of God dealt with your heart, you realized you were lost and without hope and without Christ. And the Spirit dealt with you and you gave in to Him. You gave in to His call. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Good stuff. Bartimaeus refused to allow his circumstances to keep him from Jesus. In verse 38 and verse 39, he seized the opportunity. And I'm telling you folks, we've got a greater opportunity right now than we've ever had in our life. The opportunity is before us. All those days in the past when perhaps we could have done something and did not do anything, the opportunity is past. But now the opportunity is present. Your opportunity to serve the Lord with all of your heart and give yourself to Him with all of your heart is here today. It's present today. He seized the opportunity. Then he came to the right source for help. Came Jesus. Jesus said, "What would you have me do?" Give me a better job. Help me make this deal I've been trying to make. Take this family difficulty away. Bring that prodigal back. Lord, I might save my sight. I might see you. I might see your work. I might see that you have a plan for me. God said his thoughts of you are good. He's got a future plan for you and for me. Up a tree, chapter 19. Different but the same. So it is with us all before Jesus. He was chief among the tax collectors. He's a Jew, but he's working for the Roman government. He is rejected by his fellow Jews. And those who are rejected by society are accepted by Jesus. Verse 7 says that he's going to be guest with a sinner. So here in verse 5, and as we come to a close of this time together, Jesus invites himself to supper. Have you ever noticed that Jesus never did hesitate to ask people to do stuff? Could we borrow your boat? No. He said, push it out. Anybody got a quarter? Give it to me. Show you whose inscription is on each side. One side's going to be Caesar's. Give to God what's God and to Caesar's what's Caesar's. And then he doesn't make any hesitation. He invites himself to supper. Borrowed Peter's boat, borrowed a coin. The prophet asked the widow to make him a cake first of all the things. Now I want us to finish up with Zacchaeus up the tree, and I want you to notice what came to Zacchaeus' mind when Jesus got a hold of his heart. His wallet. He got hold of his wallet, too. He said, Lord, I'm going to pay back anything that I stole from people by dishonesty. And I'm going to start giving the way that I should give. Man was getting ready to be baptized, and then he realized that he had his wallet in his pocket. And he said to the preacher, he said, hey, hang on just a minute. I've got my wallet in my pocket. Preacher said, lay it over there on that table. No, he said, baptize it too. I've used that illustration before, but I want to say this to you today. If God hadn't baptized your wallet, he ain't got your heart. If God has not baptized your wallet, he doesn't have your heart. Because the Bible says where your treasure is. Are you hearing me today? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And when Zacchaeus came to that place where he received the Lord as his Savior, and he began to make those confessions and say what he was going to do, God got a hold of his heart, but he also got a hold of his wallet. I hardly ever preach on money. We don't have a website that says that if you'll give us so much money, we guarantee you that you're going to get so much. That's, you know them guys are lying. No such thing. But I do believe that if God gets your heart, he's going to get your wallet too. I'm glad he got mine. I would be a pauper if he didn't. Okay, guys, help me, would you? Come on. Oh, I'm liking this. I'm really liking this. Now it's your turn. It's your turn. This is our church. This is what God's called us to do. He's been dealing with your heart all this sermon, through all this sermon. You may be lost. You may be saved. You may not be a member here, and God's dealing with your heart to become that. God's dealing with your heart to be saved. You know deep in your heart it's never happened to you. You may even be a member of this church. Got loved ones that are backslid now the Lord's will. Somebody that's heavy on your heart. Something's going on in your life or with your kids. Man, we need to open this altar back up.
Amen.
We need to get back before COVID. Open this altar up and let people come and pour out their hearts. And you've got people here you can come to, and they're going to pray with you about whatever is on your heart. Now, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you just be honest today? Would you just be honest with the Lord and with yourself? We're going to stand together and we're going to sing. And I'm going to ask you to come as God lays a burden on your heart to come. I'm going to ask you to come.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's bowed outpour, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we can not hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are lost. His grace receive. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
For dinner time, you're invited, and we want you to stay and be a part of that. Come back tonight at 6 for our fellowship with the Book of Revelation. And we'd like to have you to be part of that. And just because you haven't come before doesn't mean that you couldn't come now. Great study. Of our men will lead us.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for this wonderful day, Lord. Thank you for the words that you have sent to us, Lord, and thank you for your grace. Lord, I just pray that you bless this food, the nourishment of bodies, and our bodies to your service, and pray that you bless the fellowship Lord, burden our hearts that we will come back tonight to hear and to study your word. These things I say in Jesus' name. Amen.